welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sherrod here with you. We're speaking tonight to Professor Wu Wingtai, who is with the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences in Beijing. And we're talking a little bit about the economic impact of the COVID-19 outbreak. Just before the break, you predicted that this is going to be a period of slow growth for China because of the COVID outbreak. Talk to us about what you expect economic policymakers in China to do, or how they're going to react to this expected slowdown. Will we be looking at an economic stimulus package?
Oh, that's definitely, it's already been implemented. Basically, they are going to keep the firms operating by extending very low interest loans, a large part of which they would expect to write off. Because these firms are not getting revenue. So low interest loans, they still have to pay it back. So I think it will basically printing money to get them over this bad patch, which is the correct thing to do.
Is it going to be enough?
It will not be enough to push growth up above 6%.
Okay. No. I want to ask about the other side of this, because just not the health of the enterprise, but also workers. I mean, does China ever go through a situation that workers are let off or lose their jobs as a consequence of slowdown? And is that a likely scenario here as well?
Well, quite a large part of the factory workforce are migrant workers. And the migrant workers are paid according to the amount of production they have been engaged in.
So this would be migration within China?
These are people who are from the countryside coming to the city to work. This is migration within China. Right. These people, well, they will not come back in any case because of the epidemic. So they will suffer a big income loss for these migrant workers.
So you talked about this, you know, the economic impact in China. China being one of the economic superpowers of the world, what is the impact then to the rest of us? When China sneezes, the rest of us catch a cold?
Well, we can see it right here in Malaysia. Due to a large decline of Chinese tourists, the price of Musa King has fallen down to half of what it was December.
I mean, that might leave a smile on many Malaysian faces, by the way.
Yeah. The consumer in Malaysia comes off smelling roses, but a recession stinks in any case.
Sure. Right. I want to ask about this. I mean, what are the political implications? Job losses or declining incomes, do they lead necessarily to instability in China? Do Chinese, you know, workers' organizations mobilize around these moments? What is the likely scenario from that end, especially in terms of the legitimacy of the central government?
I think that the very decisive action of since mid-February has shown a government that is looking out for, you know, the lives of the population, certainly redeems the negative image of incompetence at the local level. It does shake confidence that the lessons that were learned in the SARS outbreak were not applied. And there is concern about if Xi Jinping knew about it and he asked for it to be done, why is it that the people he had picked to be in charge in Wuhan did not react appropriately? Is it because they were incompetent, or is it because there was something in the system that prevents them from reacting in time? And what would be it in the system that prevented them from reacting in time? That could be that the system is overly paranoid about being undermined by actions by individuals. It's not even actions by organized group. I can understand why a government feels threatened by the actions of an organized group. But the action of a doctor like Li Wenliang, who warned his friends, hey, there is something very nasty in that ward in my hospital, and it might be something like SARS. So watch out, guys. This is one individual. And he was clearly not engaged in an organized activity. And yet he was reprimanded. And the tragedy is he then caught the disease and died. And there's a lot of anger of, isn't this a little bit too concerned about being challenged all the time?
Right. Yeah,
the party is strong, and why should we need to be so paranoid about being challenged?
This is very interesting, and it's the logic of authoritarian regimes. But we also know of, and it's being reported now, a prominent Chinese scholar, a law professor at Tsinghua University in Beijing, has come out to in a letter to criticize the Beijing leadership. Another one has come out to call, in fact, for Xi Jinping to resign. I mean, these are these extraordinary moments? Looking from the outside, it seems extraordinary, but is it? Well, this kind of dissent in China?
No, it just shows that the Chinese, there's more, there's certainly great varieties of opinion, and they clearly have not been able to organize themselves, but there are potential sources of challenge. But if they are not organized, just like they interpreted the action of Dr. Li Wenliang, I think the government could be overreacting to individual actions. But there is a difference between deleting the messages of these people versus deleting and arresting these people. And as far as I know, these people have not been arrested.
Well, I want to come back very quickly to what you brought up, Dr. Li, right? And following his death, that opened the floodgates to grief and I think unprecedented dissent in a way.
Yes, there was a whole bunch of people, academics, signing a petition asking for freedom of speech in China, so that at least we can warn each other in time.
And then you talked about whether, you know, if it gets deleted after 30 seconds, perhaps there's nothing, there's no traction there. Has that unprecedented outpouring of grief and dissent had much traction until later, until today and onwards?
Right now, I cannot judge. But given the great number of references in different websites I have seen, the grief is certainly very widespread, deeply felt, and how much of it will get translated into action, we really do not know. Because the government has not finished solving the problem yet.
Has the government responded in any way to this call for more transparency and more freedom of expression?
No, it has not. But however, it could have implications in the future of how would the state restore social trust. That is a very key consideration.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break, come back and continue this conversation about social trust. Stay tuned to Consider This.